go with me. Improv, you don't say no. You go with it.
Not when you're a moron. Welcome to the Sibling Sit Down, where brother and sister talk about the beloved New Jersey Mafia hit TV show, The Sopranos. I'm Sarah Stefanelli.
And I'm Joseph Stefanelli. What the fuck was that? We're going to be taking you through The Sopranos one episode at a time, one podcast episode at a time. Season four, baby.
It's season four. Do you like the season? You excited? I'm excited.
I am, but this season's dark.
Yeah.
We might not laugh as much, even though I laugh a lot at this episode. We might not laugh as much. There's some darkness to this one.
I'm sure we'll be fine with the laughter.
You think we make it?
I think we're going to make it. So we will be discussing season four, episode one, For All Debts Public and Private.
Did you like the episode?
Yeah, I did like the episode a lot. There's some fun things going on in this episode.
Is this the best season premiere so far?
It's better than the first one.
This is better than the pilot.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is better than the pilot?
Yeah, I'm more excited at this point. There's more people. We got the more history. I think it's better. Remind me, the season three was the weird FBI episode, which I like, but it's definitely not better than this episode. What's two's?
It's very much an intro to the season because you don't meet Richie yet. You don't meet, well, Janice. Janice shows up. But the best part about season two is the beginning, the montage of it was a very good year.
Okay, so I think I'd go this season premiere, 2, 1, 3 right now.
Oh, so you're ranking this high. You loved this episode.
Yeah, I think this is a really, I have a lot of reasons that we'll get into is why I think this is a very fun premiere.
I agree with you. So let me give the summary before we get too far into
it. Do it.
Here we go. In the season four premiere, Junior seeks financial help from Tony, who refuses, sparking some tension. But Tony learns of a property deal from Assemblyman Zellman, using it to look supportive of Junior. Meanwhile, Carmela's worries about money and Tony's secretive behavior raises suspicions. Paulie's arrest strains his relationship with Tony while strengthening his relationship with Johnny Sack. Certain relationships seem to be growing. Adriana is getting closer to Danielle, and Ralphie is getting closer to Janice. Tony, needing to build a better bond with Christopher, provides him with the name and address of the man who supposedly killed Dickie Moltisanti. Christopher kills the man, finally avenging his father's death. This episode aired on September 15th, 2002.
Our parents' anniversary.
And I remember where I was. Because
where
a bunch of friends from college drove, we were there for what, a week? Drove down the shore to hang out at a house of a girl who we all knew. And we were all coupled up. And we stayed the whole weekend. I left that morning, Sunday morning, to go have an early bird dinner with mom and dad and you. And then I went back in time to watch The Sopranos. This is the first episode that I had watched. I caught up with DVD or whatever, and now I'm watching The Sopranos. And after eating a huge Italian dinner at La Strada, La Strada?
The best, yes.
With you, I ate a huge Italian dinner with them.
Proud of you.
To prepare for The Sopranos. So this was a big episode for me.
I'm really proud of you. You said supposedly killed. You don't think that man killed Dickie Moltisanti?
You want to jump into that right now. You want to debate.
You just said it. I'm calling you out. When the fuck are we going to jump into it? We're talking about the Sopranos episode.
It's one of the final things. Like I feel like you're jumping to the biggest question of the episode.
I mean, I assumed he did. I had enough evidence.
What evidence do you have?
I mean, Christopher said they always said it was like that. It's good enough for him, good enough for me.
But Tony gives no evidence of that. is maybe just be a guy that I don't even know if this cop is dirty, let alone killed. Like, I think he's just a random guy that Tony was like, yeah, that guy. He really? Just wants Christopher to feel good. Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I don't want to spoil, and I also don't know who's seen it, but if we are considering the prequel, The Many Saints of Newark, as part of canon, which it's written by David Chase, I think sure. I would consider it canon. This episode is very much explored on a bigger scale in that movie. That yes. movie is about the life of Dickie Moltisanti. So why don't we just leave it at that and let's wait till we talk about that episode at the end. And then we'll
The movie at the end.
Yes. When we talk about the movie, what did I say?
The episode.
Yeah. The end. Well, it's an episode. It's a long episode.
Okay. Okay.
It's just a long episode.
So what is your favorite scene?
Chris killing the cop. Whether or not he did it. That's absolutely. Christopher is amazing in that scene. Imperioli it's one of the best acting scenes for him.
Yeah.
He's brilliant in it. I particularly love his sarcasm.
Unlock me, give me the weapons. I promise you, I will do whatever is in my power to help you.
Maybe. Let's come back to that.
It's maybe the first time I've really seen Christopher be psychotic. Like, he's not just cold-blooded. He's having fun.
Yeah, I was just gonna. He's toying with him. He's enjoying the torture. Which, okay, so Christopher believes this man killed his dad. That makes sense.
Sure. Absolutely. But I don't know. There's no. Yes, there's anger, but there's this. It's coated with this maniacal need to do it. That's just very interesting. It's almost comic book-ish, but not. I wouldn't go. It's that campy. But there's something about he's a villain in this.
It's almost scene. American Psycho. Like he's accepted. Yes. Like he's accepted. Hey, I'm gonna kill you. You just got to accept it with me, dude. Like, he's almost like, why are you upset that I'm about to do this? Like, it's that yes. weird psychotic. Yeah.
You know, the looking at the watch. No. It says here like that. Like,
yeah.
Holy shit. That's not Christopher. That's not mafia. That's not how the mob does it.
It's serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I like it. Listen, I in my heart don't believe that this man killed his father.
Okay.
Nor did I believe it then when I first watched it.
Okay. But
it makes Christopher feel better. And I'm all for Christopher feeling better. If an innocent retired cop's got to die in order then, for a character I love to feel good.
Then we support good. This.
And I'm upset because I went into this episode thinking it was going to be a different scene. So I'm going to give a shout out to the scene. We've got to briefly talk about the Bobby-Tony dinner.
At the diner? While that's happening. Oh, my God.
It's brilliant shit.
Number one, the fact that they're sitting at the bar of the diner yes. is important. Like, I'm not
With
saying
a bird's
I've never.
Eye view?
Yeah. I'm not saying that I've never sat at the bar of the diner, but do you ever go to an empty diner and sit at the bar? Wouldn't you definitely get a booth?
Yeah, that's – I sit at a bar at the diner when there's – it's that
No
crowded.
Tables. Exactly. They're not. It wasn't crowded.
You know where I like the bar? Mariner's Cove.
I mean, anything in Mariner's Cove is perfect.
No, but I particularly
could be down
like
the
sitting.
Street, and if I'm eating the pancakes, I'm happy. I don't think there's any place in Mariner's Cove that's bad. That was a really bad example. His curly fries look incredible.
That steak looks incredible.
Oh, I was eyeing up the curly fries. I'll let you have the steak. If we're splitting that, I'll have the curly fries.
Steve Sciarippa has gone on record to say he had to eat 7 steaks in the shooting of that scene.
What?
Because, of, you know, you have to do a couple takes, different camera angles.
How do you eat 7 steaks without throwing?
And Gandolfini doesn't have to eat the steak, which I just find so funny. He doesn't, you know, he only has the eggs.
Is Bobby still in the fat suit?
No, this is it. This is the first
he's
episode.
He's not in the fast food anymore.
He's just fat now.
Because he ate 7 steaks and he can do that. So I guess you have to be pretty ready
Craft
for
service.
That.
Craft service did it. That's made him fat.
That's
made
incredible.
Him all fat.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
And obviously, I mean, maybe it's I'm jumping to quotes, but the whole Nostradamus Quasimodo discussion is just, that's great writing.
I really went downhill after the World Trade Center. You know, Quasimodo predicted all this.
Who did what?
All these problems, the Middle East, the end of the world.
Nostradamus. Quasimodo's the hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, right. Nostradamus.
Nostradamus and Notre Dame. It's two different things completely.
That's amazing. Tony's reaction to it is just beautiful. You know, because he loves Bobby at this moment. It's a great moment. It's a great episode for Bobby, you know?
Yeah, but Tony's come around. He loves Bobby now.
But you can hear the doubt. What the fuck did I do?
Oh, everything. He's so good at delivering lines with multiple feelings. Doubt. He's incredulous. He's like, what? It's so good. It's so good. My favorite scene, it has to be the Sunday dinner. There's so much going on there with Ralphie telling the story. The line with Matt, are you Jewish?
One time I'm alongside this turbo with doctor plates. We come off the line. He's got this big Jew grin. You're not Jewish, are you, Matt?
Pef.
Anyway, he knows it's all in fun. We at the
That is just, Ralphie is an asshole, but he's just okay with it. And he goes on and they all sit there and just watch it happen. And no one says a word. And just him like saying Rosalie's on the medication and it's sad. And then they go in the bathroom and do coke and make out. Like, there's just so much going on at this dinner and I love it. And I love that AJ made a new friend at school. Probably not for long, but I love that he had a friend to bring home from his new school.
That's a good point. And no, we never see that kid again, at least I remember.
Would you go back to have dinner at that house after that Sunday dinner?
He knew it was all in fun.
He knew. But then Danielle and Adriana walk in, yes. And then Tony is like eyeing Danielle, and Matt, the poor kid, is like, what is this family? It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. What is going on?
Number one, good call that you say it's 3 o'clock because it is. Not in some symbolism, 3 o'clock. That's just when you eat on Sunday dinner. Number two.
Yeah, I assumed. I kind of said that as a fact. And I guess I'm not sure, but I am sure. Yeah.
Number two, you have to be blind not to check out Danielle in that scene. I don't care what your sexual orientation is or who you're attracted to or what you're attracted to.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Looks smoking in that episode.
She's got, if she's going to hang out with Aid, she's got to bring it.
She, I think she flies a little higher than Icarus in that scene.
No.
When it comes to, I think she looks better than Aid. She is a gorgeous woman and she looks amazing in that scene. And by the way, my third point, I think she's checking Tony out too. And I don't think it's an act. I think there's a little bit of her is like, yeah.
I'm sorry. No, she's not.
Yeah, she is.
No, she's not. She wants to get close to him. That's her job. Like the nurse in the same episode.
Yo, with that Junior. Nurse wanted him too.
No, she want. They wanted information.
Okay.
I also want to throw out an honorable mention just to the opening scene of the, well, I guess it's the second scene, but I love that we see Tony in his robe again and we're back and it really, really good. Just a good call out.
I just like that that's a tradition of the season premiere.
Yeah.
Just love that they do that.
It's great to see. It's great to see. Favorite quote?
You go first.
I have three.
Me too.
You do. Awesome.
I do.
So I love when Tony beats the shit out of Georgie yet again and he's like, you think he's done? And then he goes back and goes, conserve.
Conserve.
It's just so good. And he's so mad. And just poor Georgie is just always in the line of fire. I have to go with my runner-up. This is really hard. I think my runner-up has to be Junior saying an entire forest in the Northwest must have given its life.
Fucking Lexus fees, the Xeroxing. An entire forest in the Northwest must have given its life in Xerox paper just for this one fucking trial. I said to Mel, can't we just at one fucking meeting all read from the same sheet of paper, pass it around?
The whole rant in general is amazing.
He's brilliant. It's so funny. He's so right. Like, yeah, everyone at the table doesn't need a copy. You're right. I get it. I got to give it to AJ, my favorite, when he says,
"It's from your own background."
We're from Potenza? I thought we were Nobbly Dobbly or whatever.
Nobbly Dan.
All right, theme of the episode. I didn't have one.
What about my favorite quotes?
Oh, fuck your favorite quotes. Go ahead. Sorry, I forgot.
My three are three extremely... I'm amazed that there are three quotes in here that are like part of the Soprano lore. Like, you know, I'm on the forums.
The forums.
People love to throw these quotes out to be wiseasses.
Okay.
Like, whenever somebody goes on some Facebook group and says, "Hey, whatever happened to that plot line where this person was supposed to kill a friend? They never did anything with that." Or like, "Where's the Russian?" Somebody inevitably is going to go in the comments and write,
"It died on the vine.
It died on the vine.
It died on the vine. The guy, he moved or something."
It's such a, like, such a stupid phrase. Yeah, peed it out. Died on the vine. The guy, he moved.
Peed it out.
It was just, it's just a great thing. And as someone who enjoys gambling.
Yes.
As I do.
Mm-hmm.
Or I might run a few pools during athletic events.
Sure.
I very often find myself quoting Tony in,
"There's the fucking money."
But that's another one that kind of became famous, like, yeah, that, him saying that.
Yeah.
And then finally, even though it's a cliche, I think maybe, I mean, one giant cannoli is everything comes to an end. I mean, her, Carmela's line is prolific.
"Well, let me tell you something. Or you can watch the fucking news. Everything comes to an end."
You know, it's a little subtle allusion to 9/11. It's a cliche, but when you go to analyze the show, that's a quote you have to bring up, is that she says this midway through the series.
Sure.
Everything comes to an end.
Sure.
By the way, happy 40th. This is the 40th episode of The Sopranos.
Yes.
So we're not halfway through, but
we had math problems last time, so I was just checking you first before I agreed with you. All right. Theme of the episode. I didn't have one. But I think yours is great. So why don't you explain?
No, I mean, speaking of cliches, it's crime doesn't pay, which I think is really not only the theme of this episode, but really the theme of the season. Not to get ahead of
myself. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
And it's a nice establishment of what we're going to deal with. But I mean, literally everybody in this episode wants or owes money to someone else or believes they are owed money.
Okay.
I mean, even Carm is reading that article about how the guy wants payment for it to do something to something, and the fish, and it's all about these agreements we have back and forth of, "You give me this, I'll give you this," and some result in happy things, some don't.
Carm herself thinks that she needs to be taken care of, and all of that,
and she's not wrong.
No, of course she's not wrong.
That, to me, very simple. I don't think this is a complicated episode in any way in theme.
No, they're easing elements. Us back in. They're easing us back in.
That all being said, there is symbolism coming out of its ass on this one. There's a lot of symbolism.
There really is. Like, this is wild. Do you want to go back and forth?
No, I don't. Just I've structured mine,
okay.
No.
Okay. Strong feelings.
Because I've right, got sub-symbolism.
I'm
got,
just
like,
going to drink my beer and let you go.
Okay, well, let me take a sip of my wine.
What are you going to share with our listeners? What type of wine you're drinking? Because
Moscato.
My brother is a 20-year-old woman. What is it, Joseph?
It's Moscato.
My 40-year-old brother drinks Moscato for pleasure, for fun.
I enjoy sweet wine.
It's that the smell makes me hungover. Okay, go on. You're simple. I'm drinking Estella, so. All is right in the world. Go ahead.
Well, let's start off with the fact that, you know, the Ducks are not back.
The fucking
But
ducks.
One of the greatest moments
Jeff
is when
right.
Tony.
Jeff is right. This show is about ducks.
It is about ducks. Bravo, Jeff. Is that Tony's hopefulness to see the ducks and very much defines that his life's not paying off. Crime doesn't pay. They're not there. They're gone.
Or his family is at risk because the ducks are his family. And it might be his like blood family or his, you know, family, as he tells Melfi, the other family.
Either one. There's a lots of interesting cuts in this episode. You know, Tony commenting on the nuns not being undercover feds, but then we cut to Danielle teasing her hair, which, who, by the way, she's in a mirror. So we see that, which is another symbol in the show, the mirrors. We see that Danielle's a double. We see Ralphie and Janice in the mirror because they're liars. They're doubling as the friends, but we know that they're lovers. And I have some things to say about that later. Another interesting cut is Christopher shooting heroin and in his toe because now he's trying to hide it.
Yeah. Oh, which do they really need to show us like that?
It's effective. I mean, it is effective. But then it cuts to Tony eating ice cream, which is his indulgence. You know, that's
it's his vice.
Yeah. This was a really interesting one that I only caught on this viewing. Tony says, frankly, I'm depressed and ashamed. And then we cut to AJ. Which is probably what he's most depressed and ashamed about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Chris kills the cop and then we jump to Carmela in bed hearing about the shooting on the news. It's not the shooting of Christopher's cop, but it definitely makes us think it is. And it just kind of
it even says a tie to the mob, you know.
Right. Speaking of indulgences, you know, we have Adriana liking Gucci. As I said, Christopher hiding his drug use, Tony eating the ice cream, Janice and Ralphie sharing cocaine. That's an indulgence that they should not be. And then, of course, they share each other. And then even Tony changing his meal. He says to the waitress, give me a steak like Bobby.
Question. Adriana likes Gucci? Why?
Yeah, because she's excited about the luggage. Like she says. Oh,
I missed that the luggage was good. Because she's talking about Versace plates in the opening, in the beginning of that scene. So I thought it was just...
Oh, I got you.
But even so, that's the same. Yeah, and also, I believe he might take a bite off camera, but Tony does not eat the eggs that he has in front of him, at least in front of us.
That's true. Yes.
Also, really quick, sorry to interrupt you. Junior's also served eggs and does not eat them in front of us. I don't know if he eats them, but he does not eat them in front of the viewers.
No, we never see Junior eat an egg. He does get served them quite often, though.
Sure.
In the series. Yeah. Now I want Mariner's Cove omelets. Again, I'm thinking of Mariner's Cove.
Oh, let's go there soon.
I go there all the time. Just a few more is the shutting of the door on the doctor was a nice little callback to Godfather 1, which ends with us shutting the door on Kay.
Yes.
I just really love that little Godfather moment. The money being hidden in the duck food, the merging of the finances and the family, which is Carmela's whole thing.
Right.
That's what she wants. But ironically, that's what he's doing, too.
I got something to say about the duck food.
Yeah.
How long were they negotiating between season 3 and 4? A year? Because it ended a year.
In April. It ends about a year and a half.
So he goes to the guy when he's getting the duck food. The man's like, well, they're all south for the winter. And he says, well, I'll be prepared for next season. Is that a nod to the audience to tell us that they're good to go now? We know that they're not because they negotiate really, really long between season 4 and 5, right? Isn't that the longest break?
I don't really know the ins and outs that much of whether or not it was because of negotiation. I mean, this season I'm going to think was delayed because of 9/11. Now, I know. I think the filming was delayed due to 9/11, but I don't know. There was a moment, though, where it was because of DVDs. That was the big deal. Gandolfini was demanding a piece of DVDs. But to give him a little shout out of how wonderful of a man he was, when he got the deal, where he made money on every DVD of this show sold, he wrote all major cast members a check for $33,000.
Really?
Yep, that was there. He divided it. Well, I mean, divided it. I'm sure he took a bigger cut, but he felt like, no, you all deserve this, but you just don't have the power I do.
Wow.
Because the show basically said, listen, we can't kill Tony off. We'll kill all of you off. You want to leave? Fine. We'll just kill you off.
Wow.
So that was something that I think it was between these seasons, but I could be wrong.
Well, I thought this was a nod to the audience to say, like, don't worry. You know, we'll all be prepared for next season.
I mean, listen, maybe that was an inside joke. I don't know if it was meant for the audience, but maybe Chase wrote it for him in a, there you go. Because it was around this season where their relationship started to splinter a little bit.
Oh, okay.
They did towards Gandolfini was a little harder to work with towards the end. I know.
Okay.
So.
All right, go on.
And then finally, Tony saying he was depressed while Melfi was on vacation. That's literally how the audience felt during the break.
Well, another example that I think they're talking to the audience.
Yeah.
I
liked that moment. That to me was, yes, a nod to the audience. Like, we're back. It's okay.
I love that. So I'm going to go. You ready? You done?
I'm done.
Carmela reading the story from Italy that you had mentioned earlier, that influence is not a crime. That's essentially what the article is saying in the Protestant ethic. I feel like it's getting us ready for FBI doing questionable stuff too. Like, who is right in all of this? I think it just plants a seed of, hey, remember that our heroes are really criminals, but are they always wrong, and vice versa with the FBI?
And they're taking advantage of the most innocent person in the show. Adriana has done nothing wrong. But they're taking advantage of her.
Oh, with Danielle? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's their in. Yeah. She's accepted a few things. I mean,
you of all people, you're going to say she's bad? You love her.
I didn't say she's bad. She knows what she's in, and they see an in with her. And I think it's valid.
Would you be a good mob girlfriend?
No, I wouldn't, because I think I need to know too much. Like, I wouldn't be okay with the secrets. Like, I'd be like, oh, well, what are you doing today?
Like, who
are you killing? Yeah, like, I would want to be involved. So, like, I don't think I would be. I'm too nosy, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think. Dean Martin in the Western.
It kind of calls
Rio Bravo. I've watched that movie with Daddy. It kind of calls us back to this. We're not making a Western here. And yes, they are. It's literally actually going to be Cops and Robbers this season.
Yes.
This is Cops and Robbers. Maybe that's my theme. Cops and Robbers are real. Like, I don't that's my theme. Because that's what it is. So I loved that touch. Carmela is tied to Adriana in a sparkly leopard top and red pants when she tells Tony the line you mentioned, everything comes to an end.
I didn't notice that. That's a good call.
So when Christopher kills the cop on TV, the police are in a Ferrari and they're saying impersonating an officer, as Chris makes an attempt to make it look like the officer took his own life. He's kind of like impersonating the guy and setting up the scene of the crime.
What? Wait, hold on. I'm going to take that further.
Please.
The cop is driving a Caprice, which is a pretty nice car. It's not a Ferrari car, but it's a little out of his price range probably. And I know that because it's foreshadowed in the beginning when he believes a Caprice is following him.
Is it Tony that guy? Says,
no, I don't think it's that guy, but it's definitely a foreshadowing moment. And then we see him driving that car. So I think like the idea of like the police in a really nice car, that's
is a thing.
Which
Got
makes
it.
You wonder again, and I'm kind of going against my point earlier, is that this cop might have been on the take.
Yeah.
I think he's just an innocent guy, but sure. I mean, it works either way. Ambiguity. I love ambiguity. That scene is incredibly ambiguous.
Okay. The zoom in on the eye on Jackson on the 20, it represents government surveillance. I think it's a nod, you know, the 9/11 world. It's been a year at this point since at this airing. But also, I think it's the FBI surveillance of them all.
And this is the only episode that takes a picture and runs the credits the entire time.
Oh, interesting. Really?
It's the only time it ever happened on the series, and it was the picture of Jackson's eye.
Why this one time? It worked. Well,
I think what you're saying is true. It's an important symbol of where this season's going to be about money. This season's going to be about eyes watching us. This season is going to be about kind of digging a little deeper into what we see of the show.
And what does this title mean then? It's a nod to Cash. Literal bills.
Yeah, I mean, it says on Cash that this note is legal tender of all debts, public and private. So.
Yeah.
It works for me. I mean, they all want debts. They're all saying, you owe me money. What, you know?
Yeah, and I think Cash was huge. Cash was all over this episode. Tony's hiding Cash. He's telling Carm that I don't have cash in the house since our last bust, which that whole conversation was comical. Between the two of them just being so frank, like, well, I don't have cash in the house since our last bust. Like, that's a normal marital fight. Like, the last time the FBI showed up, Carm, you don't remember? Like, it's absurd. Their conversation. It's amazing. Yeah, check the vents. Like, I think that's amazing.
Also, and I'm just thinking of this now, public, because, you know, everyone knows that Junior needs money. He makes that very public. But private, he's dealing with Carmella. So there's two sides to Tony's money problems.
Here's a little bit of a stretch. Do you want to come on this journey with me?
I'm on.
Public Walk and private. He now has two kids in private school. AJ went from public to private.
But he didn't know. They always went to private school. So thanks for taking me on that journey. Can we turn around now?
Yeah, we can.
Let's get back on the main road.
We can get back on the main road. Let's get back on the parkway.
But let's get on the same road. And the same road is, who is your most valuable Goomba?
It's. I think it's so obvious.
It's AJ.
It's Christopher.
It is.
It is Christopher. He is about to have quite a season in front of us. He killed this cop. Tony is clearly openly telling people he's manipulating Christopher to be his
next in line, his heir. Yeah, he's the heir apparent.
Which is, how do you feel about that?
Well, who else is it going to be?
That's how I feel about it. Isn't that a little concerning?
Yeah, because crime doesn't pay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think it should be Georgie.
Did you at any point think Bobby?
No.
I did.
I did not. What? No.
Well, no. No, that's not true. I thought Bobby because, you know, my thing with most valuable Goomba is often like who won the episode. And part of me is like, Bobby does really well in this
Bobby
episode.
Bobby just got promoted. Bobby's now friends with Tony. And also, so it's interesting in the if you watch the previously on The Sopranos, like it is funny what they choose to play.
Oh, see, where do you watch it? You watch it on Amazon?
No, HBO.
Do you watch it on Max?
Yeah.
See, Max for me doesn't show the previously on
The
Sopranos.
Oh, I watched it.
Oh, mine doesn't give me that.
It says, oh, I wish he was my uncle. So it's actually they showed that again. Remember they're in the car and he says, oh, sometimes I wish Junior was my uncle. That is kind of Bobby would be Junior's next in line, I guess. Because there's no one else but no, I think that's ridiculous. I think we're going off on a
I want to also applaud Bobby, who's a character that annoys me, you know, at times. But I like when he says to Tony, it should have happened sooner. Good for you, Bobby. You're standing up to Tony a little bit.
Well, he feels like his opinion is now being heard. So I think it also is a good time to say that anything like that. Is Bobby your most valuable Goomba?
It's Christopher.
Do I have to talk you back? Okay.
No, it's Christopher. But I just want to give credit that I did have a moment of.
Yeah.
Yeah, good Bobby
has a good episode. And it's nice we meet his family.
We do. So do you think this is, speaking of his family, is this a really good time for you to make the big announcement?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, go ahead.
So we meet Bobby's wife, his son, and his daughter. And her name is Lexi Sperduto, and she's coming on our show to speak with us about The Sopranos this season, and I am so pumped about it.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting. I mean, we're going to have a lot of good questions for her.
I am so excited for her to come on the show. Yeah, it's gonna be very, very cool.
The family is great, and it's nice to meet them. They do play a pivotal role in Bobby's journey for this season. That's what I'll say. I'll leave it at that. They play a very important role for him.
Totally. I also love that, you know how we say on the show that characters appear and we go, oh, you've just always been there. We just didn't know about you. Karen has a really good relationship with Junior. It's like she's there a lot with the kids, but we never saw it. But they did it again. It's like, oh, here's Bobby's wife who isn't new to this situation at all. I love it. I love when they
do that. Same thing with Murph, who he claims is like too out of it to do anything. This is Murph's first episode.
Right. It's like, okay, Murph, hi.
Yeah.
yeah, good point. All right, if we pulled this shit and something that made us go, oh my God, that's us.
What? There's two things in one. Well, when AJ says to Tony, you reveal your own ignorance.
There is no reason you shouldn't be able to pass social studies.
You pass in social studies?
You just reveal your own ignorance. It's only been 5 days. We didn't get grades yet.
I what? I reveal my own what?
It's, first of all, I would never, I mean, those words would never say, would never come out of my mouth. But whenever we did say something stupid, I could hear our fathers going, my what?
Yeah.
What? Like, not what. I what? I what? That was something. And then followed by the classic slap on the back of the head.
That which is.
My father still will do that to me. Though he gets my neck.
Yeah. That's the neck. Yeah.
Tony does AJ's head. And I do it to my son. That little tap, that little just upside the head.
It's perfect.
He knows it's coming.
Cold pizza in the well, they're at the table. I don't know if it's when he's eating it, but AJ eating cold pizza, that's the best breakfast. Don't shit on him for that. I love a good piece of cold, like last night's pizza from the fridge is the best snack. I say breakfast. I've had it for breakfast many times.
I don't like cold pizza.
What? It's so good.
And I gotta tell you, I gotta be lazy to even put it in the microwave. I may put it on a piece of tinfoil and put it in the oven for 10 minutes. I want it out of the oven. I want it to taste exactly how it tastes.
That's how Christian is too. He like can't believe I don't heat it up. It's like, no, I just want it.
No.
It's so good.
I agree with Christian.
Okay.
Now, Dad had two kids in private school.
He did.
But I think he would have helped Uncle June a little bit. I think our father is a better man than Tony.
Well, I think that's fair. Our dad's not a murderer. I feel like there's like a really
we don't know
low line.
We don't know.
I think he would have helped if he could. Yeah, I do too.
Do you think Dad had any money hidden in the house?
No, I don't.
You don't think Dad has any money hidden in that house in cash?
For emergencies, but not like the vent. The FBI is going to come get it.
So our late grandfather, when we were moving, when he was moving from his house, Dad showed me a couple places that he had money hidden and compartments, like not like
cash.
Yeah.
So, okay. I have a theory though. I don't think that's a mom thing. If we're being serious,
no, I know.
I think that's a generational Great Depression thing where his age group does not trust banks. So I think that is a very fair. I think a lot of people of his age had piles of cash hidden. Yes.
Yeah. But I'm not going to say where, but it wasn't like, hey, it's in a box in the closet. It was like, you got to push this and this wall moves. And that like, well,
he was a carpenter. He loved to build stuff.
It was.
I believe that.
That was insane. But I do think Dad probably has money hidden. He has to.
But I think it's probably for emergencies, not like, well, he has the big jug.
But that's out in the open for us to throw coins in.
Why is Ralphie sitting at the head of the table and not Carm's dad at Sunday?
Because Ralphie's an asshole.
No, I think that is a bad writing. I think if he sat at the head of that table, Tony would have said, Ralphie, get... He wasn't even... Tony didn't even want him to come over. You don't think Tony would go, Ralphie, don't sit at the head of the table?
That's a good... Yeah, I guess. But you know what? Now I'm thinking about other dinners. Ralphie always sits at the head of the table at that house.
He's a jackass.
By the way, total side note, has nothing to do with our topic, but in that scene, again, Tony and his mother-in-law do not speak.
I know they don't. Wait, back to this head of the table thing. Do you think it's because he's a made man? Is that a thing? But would Carmela's parents follow those rules?
Absolutely. Like, Tony's father-in-law would.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then maybe
he grew up with that.
Maybe we just justified that. That Ralphie's just a made man, so he gets the other head of the table.
Yeah. Okay. I would say so. I really felt mom vibes when Carmela replies to getting on the bike.
Jason Mangeli's parents let him get a YZ250.
You get on that bike, I will cut your legs off before the bike does.
And that's exactly what she would have said.
Did you ever want a motorcycle?
I've never wanted a motorcycle, but I did have a friend in the neighborhood had a dirt bike. That's not what, mini bike?
Moped?
Like a little motor? Maybe like a moped, but it was faster than that.
Okay.
And I rode it when she didn't know.
She would have been mad?
Oh, she. I think she said that exact quote to me. I'll cut off your legs.
Okay, but do you know, so my Christian rides motorcycles.
Yes.
I really, really think that 99% of the people, when I said, oh, Christian got a motorcycle, they went, oh, don't, you know, that's so bad. He shouldn't ride motorcycles. Do you know our parents were the only people that went, oh, cool.
Oh, really?
And just, that's it. That was their reaction. I go, you're not nervous? And they're like, no, we trust him.
Do you ride on the motorcycle with?
Once in a while, yeah. I have my own gear and stuff. It depends on the weather. Like, yeah. It has to be like really good conditions for me to be like, yeah, I want to get on the bike. But it's fun.
I don't think I'd like not being in control. I don't even like being the passenger of a car.
Yeah, that's fair. He's really so Christian drives fast. Like he drives.
Okay, I was glad you said it.
Yeah. But on the bike, he's extremely conservative with his everything he does. So I've never been nervous on the bike at all.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, he takes it really seriously. I was wondering if on the bike he's like that.
His grandfather's like a Harley guy, right? So they had, when he got his first bike, I think he sat him down and went like, if you want to be 85 like me riding motorcycles, you need to, or however old he is, he's over 80, but you need to be serious about this and be careful. So I think the fear of Jaja was put into Christian. Is Cosette a Maltese?
Yes. And one of the most hated characters on the show.
They didn't like...
Actors, performers. They hated that dog.
Why?
Apparently it was the big diva.
The dog?
Yeah, wouldn't do what it was supposed to do. Always yapping.
Okay, like even Christopher saying... Maybe it wasn't trained to be on TV. Maybe it was just a dog.
Well, whatever. But they hated that dog.
Oh.
Like to the point where I wonder when Christopher says shut that pocket rat up, I wonder if that was like an ad lib, like just shut the fucking dog up.
That is funny. Well, the reason I'm asking is because we had a childhood dog named Peaches that was a Maltese and way cuter than that thing.
Yeah, I had to look it up.
I couldn't remember the dog's name, so I went to go look it up and I was just like, oh, I forget. And I was like, Joseph Olna.
Cosette.
Yeah, Peaches was way cuter than that dog.
Yes, I agree.
What? Not yappy, though. Peaches wasn't yappy like that.
No, not at all. Karen saying, I brought my bar of soap. It reminded me of my mother, of our mother, because she would always say that if you curse, you know, we're going to put soap in your mouth. But I don't know if this generation would get it.
What do you mean?
With this generation, like I'm going to bring that up to my students. Bar of soap. I don't know if they'd even understand what that means.
I mean, it's not a literal thing. It's like to wash your dirty mouth. It's like a
Well, first idiom of all, I think many of our listeners are listening.
No,
and
I
they
know
are thinking
that
it is literal.
Yes, I know that. But I think it became a literal thing because the idea of your dirty mouth, it's a punishment for having a dirty mouth.
No, I fucking understand you. But what I'm saying is, I don't think that newer generations, like I don't think Gen Z even knows that idiom.
Okay.
I don't think we use it anymore. I think it's an out of date idiom, but I liked hearing her say it.
Well, and her delivery is good too. Also, another reason why I think they have a good relationship. Like she said that to the boss of the family. Like I know she's kidding, but like they have a nice little established relationship there. I like it.
I agree. And my last thing is, you know, as the mama's boy that I am, despite the weird tension that's happening between Chris and his mother, it feels like a very natural mother-son conversation, especially the moment where they're talking about the 8-year-old with a weight problem. And she says,
"How's Connie's kid?
He's huge."
"Jesus. That's Jason?
He has a weight problem already. 8 years old. She never had him baptized. She thought she knew everything."
Like, I could just hear mom saying that.
She thought she knew everything.
She thought she knew everything. But I really could hear mom saying that. And it really makes me laugh. So that's mine. So there was a lot more in this episode than I would have thought. If you had said to me, in season 4 premiere, we're going to have a lot of stuff about us, I go, not really.
Yeah, no, there were things hidden in there. It was good. Cannolis. Just well, you said it. The dog is barking, Christopher telling her to shut it up.
Yes.
And he tells Adriana it's more addicting to smoke heroin. And then he's with the girl in the bathroom later smoking heroin.
And I don't know enough about heroin.
No, nor do I.
Is that true?
Oh, I have no idea if it's true. But okay. But he is doing the needle. Then he says that's more addicting. And then he's doing it later.
Again, I'm sure there's someone out there that could explain it better. But I can't imagine smoking heroin is worse than shooting it into your veins.
I would think, I'll go with you on that one. Yeah.
But I don't know. I really don't know. Carmela fixes her hair and then asks, where's Furio? When Chris walks in instead. In season 3, Carmela saw Angie in the supermarket and tried to avoid her. She didn't. They ended up talking. And now Angie is working and she does successfully avoid her.
Yeah.
But it's the exact same spot they met in season 3.
Yes.
Same set, everything. Tony, you mentioned, is watching Rio Bravo, and that song will be used in a later episode this season and have a much more symbolic energy.
With my 3 good companions, just my rifle, pony, and me.
Okay.
In season 3, Carmela decided to focus on the good parts, and I'm sort of thinking that to her, that was his money. So I think that was foreshadowed for what's really her arc this season is all about, being financially set. I told you that Janice does coke in the bathroom.
You were right.
I told you.
You were right.
Junior being concerned about Murph forgetting things. Carmela sort of catching Tony putting the money in the bird feeder. Carmine questioning the Esplanade. And then finally, Karen serves Junior eggs.
But we don't see him eat them, we said.
Karen serves Junior eggs.
Got it. Understood. Okay.
Those are mine.
All right, Joseph, anything else?
I got a few.
I do too. Let me go first, though.
Ladies first. Go ahead.
Okay. So Carm says that it would be scary if Syl or Polly were in charge of taking care of her and the kids if something were to happen to Tony. And you know what? I must say I would trust Syl. So shut up, Carmela.
Okay.
Where did they find that guy who looks just like Michael Imperioli for those pictures?
I'm going to assume it's his father.
You think?
Sure.
Like, there's no AI. They can't be like, what did Chris Moltisanti's dad might look like? Put this in a frame. They can't do that.
Well, if they needed a picture of Michael Imperioli as a teenager, they would say, hey, Mike, bring a picture of you as a teenager.
Sure. If they need a picture of his dad, they'd say, bring a picture of your dad.
Why not? If I was in a play and they need a picture of my father, I would go, well, my father looks just like me. Looks like my father.
Like, literally, it's terrifying how
similar. So, yeah.
And then Adam's just you guys.
Correct. Right. Someday,
the three
if Adams,
of you are the same.
In a mob show, I'll be on the fridge somewhere.
Yeah.
As the dead dad.
Does Chris's mom not like Aid?
I got that feeling.
But I found that surprising. And like then you're like, oh, we just learned this in season four. Like, that's a pretty big piece of information. I know that maybe her mom doesn't like Christopher because Christopher hits her mom.
Right.
But this was interesting. Like, why not like Aid? Why doesn't she like Aid?
Well, point one, it might not be that she doesn't like Aid, but she doesn't believe that Aid likes her. She feels that Aid is disrespecting her. Because she says Aid sends her love and she goes, yeah. So it might actually be more she doesn't feel loved.
Okay.
By Aid.
Okay.
Secondly, this is a new actress playing Chris's mom. So yes, maybe this is her take on the character. Welcome, Marianne Lyon.
Okay. Okay.
So who, by the way, will now play Christopher's mother for the duration of the series.
Sweet.
As she's needed.
Sweet.
So that's, I'm going to say that. It could just be a different interpretation. We're fleshing out this character a little more.
Okay.
That's my thought.
Fair enough.
I could
Fair
be wrong.
Enough.
Lots of welcomes in this episode. As we said, the Bacala family is terrific. We also
Wait, I have a question. Yeah. Why do we say Bacala when it's Bacalieri? What is it?
Bacala is a fish. It is. It should be Bacalieri, but it's...
But everyone says Bacala.
Yeah, well, because they call him Bobby Bacala, like Paulie Walnuts.
Okay.
Even though Paulie Walnuts, I don't think we ever call him that, actually.
I am convinced, I think they say it once, and then no one says it again. It's just, whatever, go on, we've had this conversation.
It's like in Gypsy, no one actually says Mama Rose.
But isn't she in the script as Mama Rose? Like, I think the character's name is literally Mama Rose, though.
I don't think so, I think it's Rose.
Everything's coming up roses.
Correct.
All that work. What did it get me?
Welcome. Welcome, Carlo Gervasi, played by Arthur Noscarelli. Carlo is a great character. Not so much in this episode. He just looks like a Paulie fill-in.
Sure.
But he's great in the show. And welcome, Cosette.
What's the dog's real name?
I have no idea, but she was a bitch. But literally and figuratively, welcome Cosette to the show. We love you. This is the most watched episode of the series.
That surprises me a lot. Like, not
because you think the
last
finale
one, yeah.
I don't
why
know. This. Well, the show was hot,
and people were waiting for a long time. I know. I keep thinking about that, but that blows my mind that they had to wait a year and a half. And I think that had to have something to do with it. Did HBO have like a special? Like, why would everyone just watch this episode?
It was, I don't think people had DVR. We didn't have TiVo yet. So you had to watch it. But by the time the finale happened, you could watch it on demand. So maybe people didn't feel the need to watch it at that moment. Now I watched it.
America gasped at that moment.
Correct.
Not even gasped, yelped.
Yelped.
Of what the fuck?
Yeah.
All right, we're spoiling. Go on.
No, we're not. We didn't spoil shit. Shut the fuck up. All right, now. Interesting little story. Tony Sirico was having back problems, which is why his character is in jail.
Oh.
It was not supposed to happen that way.
I don't like that he had back problems. That's sad.
He needed time to recover, and he does. And spoiler alert, he'll come out of jail eventually.
Yeah, he will.
But
he
right
will.
Now he's there. Speaking of which, I need a lawyer. I need Nick. I need Tommy. I need someone to call in. So he says that he's in jail because he got caught because a light was out and there was a gun found in his car. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to just search a car without reasonable cause. How did they find the gun?
He gives a whole spiel, actually, though.
Yeah, he says that it was a gun charge, and it turns out the gun was used in an unsolved murder, yada, yada, yada.
Right,
who gives a shit? But why are you looking in the car? It's inadmissible.
He doesn't cover why?
No. That's sloppy writing. I mean, anybody who's watched Law and Order knows that's not admissible. You have to have a warrant.
That's a really good question.
We'll get an answer. We'll get an answer for the next episode. Do you want to talk about Carmela's hair?
I don't get it. Why? What are you talking about?
It's really weird. It's a weird hair. Really
weird? Like the whole episode?
Yeah. And what's for a while. About it?
What's weird? Okay, I'll pay attention now.
Yeah. Listeners, just pay attention and think about Carmela's hair. Do Janice and Ralphie have sex in the bathroom?
Do Janice and Ralphie have sex? Yes.
You do. You think there's...
Yes.
You think he has penisary contact with her vulva.
That's... Ew. Yes, though. I do. I do. Because I think they're both... What? Shut up.
That's what Tony says.
What?
Oh, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Tony's going to use that phrase. He did his penisary contact with her vulva.
Yeah, with her vulva? That's awful. I don't think that they have self-control. Like, I think they're just idiots.
Okay.
What do you think
if they do? I agree with you. I think they have sex in the bathroom. But is it the first time?
Yeah.
Or have they been having sex since Jackie's
Jackie's funeral? This is definitely the first time. That's the first time that they even made out.
Okay, because remember, she was sitting on his lap at Jackie's funeral.
And now it has happening. Like, it's been, the seeds have been planted and they've been flirting, but that just happened in the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. I'll give it. Just a little shout back. Zelman mentions Down Neck.
Yes.
And that's an episode. There were a lot of audio dubs in this episode, and it bothered me. Like, they went back to the sound studio a lot. There's moments where it's clearly not matching their mouth, or the audio just sounds cleaner than other moments mid-scene because they must have redone a moment. The part where Tony first comes in and talks about he did food outside for the ducks. Did the squirrels eat the food? There's clearly not matching Tony's voice. I was a little...
I don't know.
A lot of that. I counted about 5 or 6 of them. Like, there was like, that's not.
Okay.
Carmela had one. Tony had 2. It was really weird. So I don't know what's going on with this. This is the first time I've ever noticed this. But right at the end, when Christopher is hanging the $20 bill and then he looks back at his mother one last time, she's put the framed picture of Dickie Moltisanti down.
Yeah.
Flat, so she can't see him.
It's too painful.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice by
and
that
we
actress.
Don't know if it's because she's sad or she's mad, because he said, do you miss him? And she says, why, when he was in jail or that he's dead?
Yeah.
You actually don't really know if it's, I loved him so much, this is painful, or if like this, I don't want to look at this man who wasn't good for me. I don't know.
Dare I say ambiguity?
Yeah, you said it. You dared.
You did. And I'll leave you with this, because I know you love a little bit of trivia.
I do.
So the line, the Don doesn't wear shorts.
Yeah.
Said very condescendingly by Carmine. And even Johnny Sack, you know, gives that look at him like, I had to tell him. That was in there because the mafia actually got upset and contacted Chase and HBO and said, listen, we love your show, but. James Gandolfini cannot wear shorts at a barbecue. The Don does not wear shorts. So they added that line in. But the irony of that is, for a little while, Tony will stop wearing shorts to outside events, but eventually he will start again.
Shut up.
And I'm not going to say why.
There is
literally a moment where he starts wearing them again, but I can't say why.
Okay, hold on a second. Back the truck up. What?
Beep. Beep.
What? He's at a barbecue this episode?
No. This happened in a previous season. In fact, I think it's season 2.
Oh.
And somebody contacted Chase and said, listen, your show's great, but there's a scene earlier in the series.
How do you think that phone call went? Hi, I need to talk to David Chase. I'm in the mob. Like,
put that fucking fuckface Chase on the fucking phone.
You
thinks he knows us. Let me tell you something.
You think that's how it went. And yeah, you think Chase took the phone call?
What? Yeah, I do.
So if I call David Chase's like agent, right? And I'm just super forceful in my language, you think I can get him on the phone? Okay, I think that is so fun. And I really would love to understand how that phone call went. Work on that for me.
I'll find it
in the forms.
In the forms. I'm done. That was a lot.
You're done.
I'm done.
I loved this episode. This was great.
It was a great episode.
Really
great
good.
Season. We got a lot of great stuff coming up.
It's going to be awesome. All right. Thanks to our listeners for analyzing For All Debts, Public and Private. That's all from us for now. We'll talk to you soon when we discuss the next episode, Season 4, Episode 2, No Show. This has been The Sibling Sit Down.
Where I long to be, Rio Bravo.
All that work and wanted it. Hey, thanks for listening to The Sibling Sit Down. Please like or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or from whichever platform you're listening. Leave a review on Apple and share the show with fellow Sopranos fans to show your allegiance to the family.